Well, we've been going through our study in Nehemiah chapter 2 and talking about this preparation, if you will, in terms of prior to this, we look at the whole concept of praying about this calling or this task that God has laid upon us. And we look further then in chapter 2, and now it's the matter of action to this prayer and that we are now engaging in it all. And we looked in the last several weeks here in terms of this preparation, and we looked at the preparing or preparation of ourselves before Him in the sense that there is to be this level of piety and reverence, or there is to be this signature character trait of humility that is to permeate our very person and being, and that without that initial humility there, the process itself cannot go forward correctly nor successfully in it all. And we look further, not only is there this aspect of humility, but there is this preparation of crying out to God and speaking correctly for Him. That in order to do what God has called us to do, there is a dependency upon God to work in and through us to accomplish what He has called us to do. And without that spiritual empowerment, without the Spirit's guiding and working in our lives, guess what? We can't be successful. It's not man's strength, it's God's strength working through us. I've shared many times, personally myself, as I look at this whole concept of being a minister, being a pastor, you know, you can have all the criteria and credentials to do this task. You can have all the seminary degrees and titles before and after your name or whatever it may be, and all this experience that goes with it. But unless the Spirit of God is empowering and guiding, and that the person themselves is sensitive to that Spirit's leading in their lives, guess what? You can't do this job successfully. You can't. Without God working in and through you, without that humility and reverence, without that dependence there, guess what? We fail. We fail. So thirdly then, after we see that, we've seen last week, it is about preparing ourselves with the provisions that God has given us. And one of the neat things that we looked at is this idea is that there are these resources that are needed to accomplish the task. And isn't it profound as we look in the book of Nehemiah? Guess what? God provided all that. It was almost like, here it is. God's paving the way, Nehemiah. All you got to do is walk through the doors, if you will. But it meant more than just that. And what it means is we look at the concept of these resources and these provisions that God has given us, is that we take what God has given us and organize it and allocate it and apply it in the right way so that it's used in the correct context there. And as we look at the whole general concept of the church in this day and age, what God has given us, the way He has organized it, the way He has equipped it, folks, we have everything necessary at our disposal, in our possession to be effective for the Lord, to accomplish His task and His purpose and plan. But guess what? If we don't apply what God has given us correctly, then all this provisions, all these resources, just ends up being a pile of stuff, if you will, that never gets used. And I do believe that if we as God's children are not correct stewards with what God has given us to be used for His glory, and God can just as easily take it away as He can easily give it. And I see further than this morning as we finish this chapter out, is there is not just a preparation of humility and a preparation of speaking correctly or being empowered by Him, and not just a preparation of utilizing what God has equipped us and provided us with, but there is also a preparation of ourselves to engage in the task. Do you see that? As Nehemiah goes up here, he observes or gives analysis of how severe the situation might be. And you know, it makes me think about even myself when I remember preparing for ministry. And I remember talking to my pastor and telling him, I feel the Lord is calling me to go into the ministry to be a pastor. And he sat down with me and he said, okay, that's good. Now you got to do this, 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 and this. And there was this growth process that needed to take place. There was a learning process that needed to take place. As I got into school and went through the courses and classes and seminary and worked hard and accomplishing that, there was also just the gaining of experience and getting up in front of people and preaching and preparing sermons and all that stuff and ministering various ways. And then, after all that, it was awaiting God to open that door for us to walk through, to engage in the task, if you will. And can I tell you, sometimes that's the scariest place right there. Because you feel God's call upon your life in this certain area, and you do all the preparations necessary to engage in that task, and then you're faced with this open door, and now you have to step through. Boy, what a scary. What a point of trusting God. There's where the faith is really demonstrated in some regard, if you will. I can remember my wife and I, when we came here, when we candidated here at this church, and I remember driving back, and it was really quiet in the car. Because we were looking for any red flag available that would say, oh, this is not it. This is not where the Lord wants us, we can tell for sure. As we were driving back, the waterworks were starting. The tears were coming down because we knew God was calling us here. And we didn't know what all that would entail or anything like that. We just knew God as was opening that door. And I remember just the anxiety in some regard of, okay, how's this all going to work, Lord? We'd never moved before. I remember when my move from Pennsylvania to Indiana, Michigan area, I had my little red Cavalier, a gym bag, and my shotgun. That was it. When I moved from Michigan to Wisconsin, we had to rent a moving vehicle, 27 foot long, to fit all of our stuff in. And I remember just how we've never done that before, working all that out, and how the Lord is going to provide and everything like that. And it was simply amazing, folks. And we all have stories like that. It was simply amazing. It took us an hour and a half to pack everything up the day we moved. And the day we got here, it took us an hour to unload everything from the vehicles there. It was amazing how the transition went so smooth. It was awesome. It was exciting, and to see how I'm not even further with how God provided and all of that. But folks, there's a perspective here that you and I need to gather this morning as we look at this whole concept of engaging in the task that God has called us to. There is a measure of stepping out in faith in it all. And we don't know what the circumstances will entail with all this. We don't know what sense of trials there will be or difficulty that we'll face. We aren't sure of all of that. We know there will be some of it, that's for sure. We know God will provide all of it. And what we must look at in terms of all of this, as we see here in Nehemiah this morning, is that sometimes we tend to look with our own human eyes at the circumstances. We look at the situation and we analyze it and we say, whoa, this is too big for me, God. This is too overwhelming. This is impossible that, God, you can meet in this area. Rather, looking at it in the sense of, here's the opportunity. And as I think about this, I'm reminded even further of men in the Bible who were called out to a specific task and purpose by God. And there was this repeated sort of connotation in there about the girding of the loins, if you will. And it was that idea that we are equipping ourselves to the task, or we are preparing for battle, if we will. And it's the matter of protecting and preparing in the sense of any vital area there that can be wounded by all this. Most of what's interesting about this is what you see is this concept of girding the loins, or this concept of being a good soldier in Christ Jesus in this battle that we see ever before our eyes, is that guess what? There's going to be attack.
There's going to be difficulty. There's going to be opposition. There's going to be the situation itself appearing to be overwhelming and impossible in some regard.
And I tell you that God's transcendent to all of that this morning, and I know we as Christians believe that. God's word clearly declares to us this whole concept of trial and difficulty when we step out in faith for Him. Christ spoke in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24. He said then unto Jesus and His disciples, "If any man will come after Me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow Me." It doesn't say take up your cushion there. It says take up your cross. Paul confirmed this even further in 2 Timothy chapter 3. He says, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall," what? "Suffer persecution." And he goes on to say, "But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast assured and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." When we look at this whole Christian life, and the calling that God has placed upon us as believers, as a body of believers, if you will, guess what? It's not going to be easy. Boy, oh boy, if I would have been somewhat prepared and rehearsed in how difficult sometimes ministry can be, I might have had some second guesses with it all. The thanks be to my God who is sovereign in it all. The balance in all of this against the threat of evil is there's one who is over and who is greater than anything that we could ever go through. It is the very presence and power and promises of our God that inspire us to follow Him and look beyond the mere attempts of evil against the face of God who graciously deploys His power through the employment of His children. Let me read to you Isaiah chapter 66 and verses 5 and 6 there. It says this, "Hear the word of the Lord." That's enough right there. "Ye that tremble at His word, your brethren that hated you, that cast you out for My name's sake, said, Let the Lord be glorified, but He shall appear to your joy, and they shall be ashamed. A voice of noise from the city, a voice from the temple, a voice of the Lord that recompense to His enemies." Christ spoke similar to all of this in Matthew chapter 5. He said, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for My name's sake. Rejoice and be glad, for great is your reward in heaven." You know, James says something similar to all of that in the book of James in that very first introduction. He talks about that, being glad or rejoicing. "Count it all joy, brethren, when you fall into various trials and temptations." We don't really like to rejoice in it sometimes. We'd rather see a resolution in it all than rejoicing in it all. Paul spoke even further in Romans chapter 8. He says, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory that will be revealed one day." Boy, that paints a picture of attention there, doesn't it? That directs our focus not with what the circumstances involve, but literally upward at the very throne of heaven there. And who's really in control? And who's really overall? As I look at men of God throughout the Scriptures that had a clear understanding of God's call upon their lives, they knew that to go forward in such tasks that lay before them demanded difficulty to a degree that was beyond what they could have imagined. As you look at such men, I think of Moses and the task that was set before him to convince the Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the known world at this time, to release God's people from slavery. What a challenge. Or you look at Joseph as another example here. Here was a man appointed with the task to carry not just Egypt, but multitude of nations surrounding Egypt through a almost worldwide famine, if you will. Or look at Paul. I love the story of Paul because as well as the different apostles there and how God used these men with this task. It wasn't going to be easy, but God knew the end result in it all. And I look at this man, Paul, who as upon his conversion, was given this statement: he will suffer much for my name's sake. Boy, that sounds exciting, doesn't it? That's a bandwagon I want to jump on right there, isn't it? Simply amazing. But I look at this man and what God did with the life of Paul, and I love the contrast of all of this. Here was a man in his day who was probably the greatest known persecutor of the church. And God turned this man around to be probably the greatest man in the establishment of the church. That's what God can do. And as I look at this study this morning, one of the things I want to focus your attention on is here first and foremost is Nehemiah as he goes up to observe what's before him. He goes up and looks and he gives the report back. Look at your city, Jerusalem. It lies waste in rubble. Here is the first task, or here's the first level of difficulty here, is that we look at this challenge before us and say, we can either look at it and say, it's too great for us. It's impossible. Lord, it's beyond my capabilities. I can't do this. The tendency, that's what we have, is we look at what God has called us to, and maybe the lack of faith and the lack of correct focus, we respond in anxiety and frustration and all. It makes me think, if you will, I remember my wife and I when we bought our first house, and I probably shared this story several times with you, but bear with me here. And I remember as we bought this house, and there were birds flying in it when we looked at it, okay? There was broken windows, there was things, just dirt and things all over. It wasn't livable. And, you know, it was amazing that as we purchased this home, the materials and resources that we need, we didn't have. We didn't really honestly think this whole thing through when we went through all of this. We thought we had enough, and they only scratched the surface in it all. And I remember even further as we embarked into this task here, into this responsibility, I remember all those that would come and help us remodel this home, the reverberating words that would echo repeatedly through my mind as each person would come in, look at this old, shaggy farmhouse. They would say, boy, there's a lot of work here. There's a lot of work here. Some of you know that feeling a little bit. And you know the feeling that it gives you, and his heart just sinks when you hear those words. Your shoulders just sag a little bit more. And it gets a little overwhelming. It feels a little bit impossible at times. But you know what? There were some neat things that took place in all of that. I'm reminded of just, we went in just seemingly the electrical alone. Remember, we decided to update the electrical in the house because it really didn't happen. So it was kind of necessary for a little bit. And just the amount of money it would cost to just update that, we didn't have. And how God had brought an individual who was a professional electrician who had an abundance of electrical wire that wasn't being used, and here he came in for nothing, rewired our entire home, and God provided. There were other areas just like that where we were just like, we had no idea how it was all going to be taken care of. And God did it. And as Christians, folks, as we look at what God has called us to as a church here, we have a responsibility. And can I say, when we look at the responsibility, we can either look at the circumstances involved and see how overwhelming and how impossible it is, or we can look upward at the throne of God, knowing that God has called us to the task, knowing that He will equip, knowing that He will provide, and He will accomplish what He has called us to do. How beautiful! He always provides. And it's that step of faith, of going forward, of trusting God, and how beautiful it is that when we step out and trust Him, as we prepare ourselves completely before Him for what He's called us to, it's that step of faith and that beautiful transition that once we step out, we get to see God work in it all. I don't know how it's all going to happen. I don't know how things are going to play out in the future. But you know what, folks? We can do is just be faithful to what God has called us to as a
faithful, yes, God will provide. As Nehemiah was so profound, as he gave this report, he looked at what was going on. He looked at destruction. He looked at the devastation. And he didn't look at it with discouragement. He looked at it as opportunity. He looked at it as, you know what, we initially went forward with this. We're going to stay faithful in the midst of all of this. We're going to keep persevering. We're going to keep pushing on. I think of that house as many times as I heard those words. There's a lot of work here. Guess what? We bought it. We made the decision. All that we could do was move forward. We couldn't go back. Christian, we can't go back. We got to move forward. We got to take that step and engage. If we've gone through all this preparation, let it not be for naught in it all. But may we step forward trusting God now that He will provide in it all. There's the first thing this morning. And as I move quickly, then the second thing that you'll see, and we could go into this so much more, but if you look down there, one of the things you're going to notice here in this passage in verses 19 and 20 is here's this little bit of distraction, if you will. As he is, Nehemiah has prepared his people, encouraged them and challenged them, letting them know, listen, don't look at the city and how it's wasted and destroyed. Look at what God is doing. Look at what God, how God has provided first and foremost in all this. It encouraged the people to come together, to prepare their minds, to make ready, to get involved, to get their hands dirty and get the work done. And then there's all of a sudden this little bit of distraction, a little bit of hindrance. Isn't that how it always works? Boy, when we step out in faith to God and trust Him, we start coming together as a body of believers, start pushing, persevering, and getting the work done that God has just called us to do. Guess what? Satan's knocking on the door right there. He wants to distract. He wants to hinder in some way. He wants to just do whatever he can to discourage you. Here's these three men that come along, and they start mocking. They start scoffing. They start doing whatever they can to hinder this work that's being done. Guess what? These men, they dwell amongst them at times. These were men that had interaction with the Jewish people there. There was a sense of relationship, maybe not a healthy relationship, but nevertheless, a sense of relationship and interaction. Sadly, I believe sometimes the attacks that come in today's churches, sometimes they don't always come from the outside. They come from the inside in it all. And guess what, folks? As we look at this whole sense of engaging in the task and preparing, folks, as I see it, you're here. You're here to do the Lord's work. God's called you here to this church. God's called you to support the vision and direction of this church. And if you can't do that, please get out of the way. But don't be a hindrance. Don't be a hindrance. As we look at what takes place here and how Nehemiah responds, so diplomatically, you know. He doesn't respond with retribution. He doesn't try to return evil with evil here. He simply says this. If you're not going to lay your hand to the work, then you have no portion with us. You have no fellowship with us. Isn't that interesting? And folks, when we look at what God has called us to do as a church, I encourage you, if you're here, God has brought you here. He brought you here for a specific task. Let's get together. Let's engage. Let's unite together and accomplish what God has called us to. We might be small, but guess what? That doesn't matter. God doesn't need thousands upon thousands. He'll take 12 to turn the world upside down for Him. All He needs is a faithful few. He will most gladly take thousands. Don't get me wrong. But folks, what it requires is just those who want to serve. As I look at us as a church, you know, I'm excited. Because I see a healthy body of believers that have the same mind, that want to see the gospel going forward, that want to see the ministry of this church extend out and reach out. And folks, guess where it starts? It starts with you and I preparing ourselves in the right fashion. And then we go through all those preparations, and folks, then there's this final step where we step into it all and start moving into action. We're praying the whole way through all of this, by the way. We're praying the whole way through all of this. But as I look at it, how neat to see how the people of God in Nehemiah's time came together. This great sense of leadership that Nehemiah demonstrates here. And he encouraged the people not to look at this overwhelming task as an impossibility, but as an opportunity, if you will. And God did a miraculous work through it all. 52 days and the wall was complete. That's amazing. What seemed to look as an impossibility was just a small stepping stone in the process. Folks, God can do it. And he much takes pleasure in doing the impossible. Amen? He does. When situations look the most desperate, I believe that God, our God, looks at this as an opportunity to reveal his triumph through it all. Folks, he did it at the cross. The most desperate situation that mankind could ever be faced with, our Lord took the full weight of sin. And he paid the price. And guess what? He rose victoriously over it all. He conquered death in it all. If he can do that, then we don't need to worry about anything else, folks. God will provide. If God can provide in our eternal state, he can provide in every area of our physical state. Folks, we just need to step out and engage in the process.
Interesting. Paul writes in Romans 8:31, and this is in the context of salvation there as well, but it can be applied in every area of God's work. He says, "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can stand against us?" David writes in Psalm 112, and I have used this verse for myself so many times over, because the weight of ministry and just what is being said, as oftentimes we cannot control what others may say about us. Guess what? David says, "I will not fear the evil tidings. I will not fear what mankind has to say, because my heart is fixed trusting in the Lord. My heart is fixed trusting in the Lord." And can I give us one last quote here then this morning? And you can look at these verses a little bit further. Nehemiah looked at these challenges as opportunities. If you look in verse 17 there in the latter part, he said, "Come and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem." Do you see that? "It lieth waste before that. Let's get busy. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach." And if you look there in verse 18 then and following, he says he reminded himself and informed those with him that God's hand of provision and protection was upon him. If you look in the beginning part there in verse 18, he says, "Then I told them of the hand of my God." Then I told them of the hand of my God. You know what? Assurance that the people of God needed right here. You know that all that they needed was not, "Lord, make sure that we have this much money coming in to provide for the physical needs of us as a church. Make sure we have this many people, or this night, or whatever it may be." No, God's with us. That's all we need. God's with us. He's needed it. He'll provide for it. He'll accomplish it. We don't have to worry about anything else. I'm reminded of the great quote by missionary to inland China, known as Hudson Taylor. He says, God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. God's work done in God's way will never lack God's supply. And isn't it how so profound as we look at this series and what we're going through? It is rebuilding his house, his way. And these are the fundamental principles that we see, that as we apply these things, guess what? God will supply. God will supply, folks. Firstly, are we praying to God like we should be? Is there that genuine sense of prayer that permeates our spiritual life? Guess what? Your spiritual life will never rise above your prayer life. Adrian Rogers said that.
your spiritual life will never rise above your prayer life. Are we praying as God's people? All we need to. The power of prayer, and the power that works through prayer is all.
And then, are we preparing for the task that God has called us to? What is God speaking to you today as a Christian, as a believer in this church? Where has He called you specifically? If we're sharing here and going through our Sunday school class, by the way, y'all are invited to that. If you're encouraged to come to that, you'll definitely learn through all of it. We're learning about these spiritual gifts, and one of the things that we're seeing is that these spiritual gifts, God instituted them for the outworking success of His church. And each one of us as believers is endowed with some type of spiritual gift. And if that spiritual gift is not being utilized and applied and practiced, we can't expect God to work mightily through it all. This is the way God designed it. Let's follow His pattern and watch Him work mightily through it all. Rebuilding His house, His way. As Christians, I encourage that with all of this. As a believer, a group of believers in this church, oh, how much we need to be about our Father's business. Oh, how much we need to be preparing for the task that God has set in place for us. Each one of us are called. We're called as a church body for the gospel's sake. But how that is performed and worked out is unique to us as individuals. How God has called us specifically in specific areas regarding our gifts, our talents, our personalities, where we are geographically, whatever that might be. Utilizing that, engaging in all of that to accomplish His purpose and plan and rebuilding His house, His way. If you're here today as a believer in Christ, as a believer of this body, this is a time of examination here. Yes, many of us may be involved in different things in the church, and that's great, but praise the Lord. We see this men's prayer breakfast and all the hands that go into that. That's the way God designed the church to be, by the way. It wasn't one man running the show. It was God's people all coming together and doing different things to accomplish the task. That's all it was. We look at the Awana program, we're seeing the same thing and all of that. This is the way it's supposed to be. Maybe we see where God is calling us to in this church to be effective for Him. And I encourage you to let God's Spirit lead you. Prepare you. And when that door opens, trust Him to walk through it all. Amen. If you're here today, you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you can become a believer today. Simple process. None of us are here by our own works. None of us are here because of how good we are. We're here because of how great our Savior is. That we are all sinners, and we've all come short of the glory of God, and the punishment for that sin is death, physically and eternally. But thanks be to our God, that He is the propitiation for our sins. He's the substitute. He paid the price for our sins. And that all we have to do is cry out to Him, ask Him to forgive us, ask Him to save us. And guess what? God says He will. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You don't have to say it just a certain way. Guess what? God knows the heart in it all. And if you cry out to Him and say, Lord, forgive me and save me, guess what? God will save you. There's nothing I can't guarantee. There's going to be a bolt of lightning shoot down out of the skies. I can't guarantee that the clouds are going to open up and the sun rays are going to hit you just perfectly and it all, guess what? It doesn't always work that way. What we're trusting in is not some experience to define our spirituality. What we're trusting in is the person and work of Jesus Christ that is declared in the Word of God, and in that alone, folks, as the basis and foundation for our faith. If you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, I encourage you to make that decision today. If you're here today and you're a believer in Christ, let's prepare ourselves for the task and engage. Amen? Let's stand together. As Brenda comes down this morning, she's going to play through a verse of meditation and just reflection on all this, a verse of invitation as well. If you're here, you don't know Christ as your Savior, you come down here. I can go through this prayer of salvation with you this morning.